Well, I've enjoyed the morning, the choir special, and your pastor appreciation presentation. That was spot on. Well done, church. Man, you did a great job. And I can tell you from Scripture and from ministry observation, you won't regret, you know, showing honor where honor is due. And you have a very good man here, very, very good man here. And so I'm glad you did that, really am. And I want to encourage you this morning. Your pastor has told me not to worry about the time. And when he says that to me, he doesn't know it, but when I was pastoring for my first month, started off with just five widow ladies, all 74 years and up. And within the first month, they had a nickname for me. They nicknamed me Little Pharaoh. And I laughed when they called me Little Pharaoh. And I said, why do y'all call me Little Pharaoh? And they said, because you never let God's people go. Because I was just 35 years old and I would preach around the world over and over again. And so telling me don't worry about time, I'm the wrong guy to say that to. And I want to encourage you, I'm joking when I say this, today's message, this afternoon's message, is for members only. It's not, but it's specifically directed to members. And so if you're a member here, and if you can come back this afternoon, please do so, because I honestly, I'm going to pillow my head tonight at the hotel with a clear conscience that that's what God wanted me to teach, to preach this afternoon. And so I want to encourage you. And if you're visiting, it's a good message, a good service for you to come back in terms of hearing a challenge that's going to be presented biblically to the church members. Because if you're visiting, obviously you're thinking one day you may become a church member here. Well, you might as well know what you're getting yourself into. Can I get an amen on that? And so we're going to be in the Bible looking at that. And then this afternoon also, I'll be giving you some Mark Rice stories of his time at Heartland Baptist Bible College and how we had to create a few rules that never had to deal with before. And so how many of you want to hear some Mark Rice stories this afternoon? The whole church, look at that. Well, it looks like y'all coming back. No, sit back down. I'll have them. I'll have some stories. The title of the message is this: Look Forward, Then Work Backwards. Today, I want to try to encourage the young people, and we have a good number of young people, and then the rest of us that are not so young. I want to try to encourage you. I want to try to encourage you by looking, you having your own private look into your calendar. Really think about it. What's the most important thing that's out there on your calendar? For some, maybe those that are in high school, the most important day is graduation day. Man, I can remember as a kid thinking, man, if I could just graduate high school, that'd be the biggest day in my life. For some, it was getting a driver's license. I can remember saying, if the Lord just will not return until I get my driver's license, it's a big day. Big day on my calendar. For some, it might be to make first string on the sports team. For some, for the ladies, it might be to get that engagement ring. It's a big day. For some, it might be to graduate from college. And then as we kind of work, and I'm trying to give everybody a little bit of a card to jump on here. And so those of you that are in high school and in school, and then now what? You're out of high school, you're out of college. Well, then what? Well, then you get a job. Well, then what? Then you want to get a better paying job. Then what? Then you buy a truck. Well, then what? You want to get a bigger truck. Can I get an amen? And then what? Well, then you have kids. Then you get married, and then you have kids. I mean, heard that correctly. Then you get married, and then you have kids. And then what? Then you buy a house. And then what? Then you buy a bigger house. And then what? Then you send your kids to college, or you simply get them out of the house some other way, whatever it takes. Well, then what? Well, then you get a job. And you work at that job for 30 years. And then what? Well, then you retire. And then what? Then you travel. Then what? You get older. Then what? You get older. Then what? Even older. And then what? Then you get a long-term disease, and you hope you die quickly. Because eventually, guess what? Then what? We're all going to die. Like it or not, it's on your calendar. It's on all of our calendars. And if you're born again believer, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That, my friend, is the most important day on your calendar. One scholar said it this way: do you not think that it would make a great difference in your life today if we would just come to the reality of knowing that every act of the present is actually registered by God Almighty? He registers the acts. The Bible mentions two future judgment days. I want to invite your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the first judgment day that we'll look at this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're there, say amen. If somebody around you doesn't have a Bible, just scoot on over and let them see it. We want people to see that this is from the Bible. This is not some booklet. This is from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. This is a letter written to the Corinthians. It's written to a church in Corinth. It's not written to you and I, but it's been preserved for you and I to learn from. This letter is written to people just like you and I, inside the church walls, if you would. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we, that's us, this is written to born-again believers. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to insert the word why. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be, what's that next word, church? Good. Or what's that next word? Judgment seat of Christ. That's what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. You just read the script of that day. When that day comes a reality to you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now have reasoning to understand what's going to happen at that day. And if you're a believer, you're going to be at that day. The Bible also talks about another day, Revelation chapter 20. Can I invite your attention there? Revelation chapter 20. There's two great days that are in the future that are on the master calendar for all of mankind. This judgment day that we're going to read about now is going to be where unbelievers will be present. Unbelievers will be present. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. John, he's been banned from the world. He's on this rock island called Patmos. He's out of the world, and he is getting the word revealed to him. Sometimes we need to get out of the world so that we can get into the word. And this guy is out of the world. He's been banned for preaching the gospel. And he's on this rock island, and he is getting into the word. And he says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. Let these words paint this picture. And I saw a great white throne, and on him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The them is unbelievers. Those that do not believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those that have rejected Jesus Christ. And he says, and I saw the dead. He starts to describe the them. I saw the dead, small, great, stand before God. And watch this. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their, what's that next word, church? Works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and the hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, pay attention here, please. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord, as we bow before you and unite our hearts as best as we can this morning, we'd ask that you would guide in this service, Lord. And there's times in the past when I've asked you to help me to preach, and I've asked you to help me with the sermon and the rest of the service. Lord, I'm not going to do that today because there'd be some level of a pretense that then I would like to have something to do with the rest of the service. Dear God, I would like to have nothing to do with the rest of the service so that everything that is done from you. Lord, would you do this morning what only you can do in the lives of these dear people? Lord, would you remove me And would you work amongst us? We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. These two judgment days, one judgment will be glorious. The other will be horrific. One will open eternity in heaven. The other will open eternity in hell. One brings great rewards and one brings great punishments. At the judgment seat of Christ, the RSVP is for the people of faith, those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I didn't say those that are members of a Baptist church. No, this isn't about church membership. This is about trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if someone has rejected the Son of God, then they're going to be at the great white throne judgment, and God will then reject them. And at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20 that we just read, only unbelievers will be there. Those who have rejected Jesus will be there in order to appear. We must recognize that the most important future day for any human being is one of these two judgment days. And you now have time to make sure that you're going to be at the right judgment day. Because if you just wait until you die and you think you'll take care of this question, but you might just say this, you may not have time to take care of this. No. I think the way I'm going to die is I'm going to be diagnosed with a terminal disease. I'll have 6 months to live. You don't know that. You might not have any time to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Why is this such a big deal? Why even deliver this on such a nice day on marriage conference? Why? What's the big deal? Well, because we all are going to die. We must all face the cold, unalterable, hard fact that from the day we were born, we are fixed with one inescapable appointment. We all must die. Like it or not, believe it or not, ready or not, we all are going to die. Sooner or later, the death angel is going to meet you and he's going to reach through eternity's door and pull you through. Nobody can escape this. It's on your calendar. You're going to die. But there's another great day that we should talk about here. It's the day of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ took the penalty of the sins of mankind, when he suffered the wrath of God in our place. And his word that you are reading from this morning makes it clear that if we'll come to him acknowledging our sins and accept what Jesus did for us on the cross, then he will then appropriate his work of redemption for us. God will cleanse, pardon, save us if we'll come to him the Bible way. But if you refuse or you try to appease him in your own man-made way, then you're going to be co-signed to the never-ending flames of hell. And can I just be very upfront with you? Whatever you are when you die, you're either a believer or a non-believer. And whatever you are at that moment of death, you are that forever and ever. Why is this such a big deal? Because you're all going to die, me included. It's on our calendar. Now, for those of us that have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've asked him to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. Then one day he's coming back for his church. Can I get an amen on that? But the fact is that many of us have taken that truth that he can come back any day now, and we've let it kind of slip to the back of our minds. This morning, I'll just make effort to try to make it come to the front burner of our minds. There's way too many of us, and I think Satan's happy with it, that we think of the return of Jesus Christ, and we think it's just way back there or way out there. It could be today. It could be today. I'll make an attempt to bring it to the forefront of our minds. Now for the believers, and I'll make an assumption that not everybody in here is a believer, but many are. The judgment seat of Christ, this is your day. This is for the people of faith. This is the judgment seat of Christ. It's a place where every Christian will one day stand before Christ. Our salvation is the ticket to this event. We'll be there because of what Christ did for us when he saved us. No one who has failed to trust Christ will actually be at this judgment. They'll be at Revelation chapter 20 judgment. This is the day for the people of faith. The judgment day. It's an evaluation time. The judgment seat of Christ is like a great big performance evaluation, like a job performance, but it's more important than your job performance. This is the final evaluation of your lifetime. You won't have like your boss, maybe your boss will get together with you and he'll sit down at a 6-month evaluation and he'll say, well, we had 3 goals for you this last 6 months. And you know, you accomplished this goal and this goal, but this
third goal, you didn't accomplish it. So let's just go ahead and put that on to the next 6 months agenda. Let's see how you, let's just give it another try. This judgment, this evaluation, there won't be another try. There won't be another opportunity. It's final. The final evaluation where Jesus Christ himself, the one who knows that you've accepted him as your Savior, and he has that discerning ability, he'll look over all that you've done, all of the work that you've done, all of the things you've done in your body, whether it be good or bad, all the service for him, he looks over all of it and he appraises it. He gives it value. He's going to be looking for not just all that you've done, but he's going to be looking at why you did what you did. See, there's a day coming that I'm trying to get you to see is on your calendar. It's a day when really, one commentator said this way, it ought to be the business of every day to prepare for that last day. That last day when you'll be able to lay your whole life out before and Christ will appraise it. Sometimes this illustration shows a great point. It's a true story. A contractor had a friend, and his friend was very wealthy. They were very best of friends. A contractor and a wealthy friend. And the contractor was asked by his wealthy friend to build this huge, huge, ominous home. And the contractor decided to throw his friendship to the wind. To save some money, he put some cheap material into the filled dirt, cheap concrete into the footers. And he skimped in quality just to save a buck. Can you imagine the surprise of that contractor when he handed the keys over to his rich friend? And the rich friend said, "Hey, I want to give this back to you as a gift to you and your family. You live in that house now for the rest of your life." See, that foolish builder, he inherited the fruit of his own unfaithfulness. And actually, in robbing his friend, he ended up robbing himself. Sometimes that's like you and I. If our present service for the Lord is faulty or insincere or for the wrong reason, we're not only robbing the Lord, but we're robbing ourselves of rewards. Remember that discerning fire of Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ when he will actually test and verify all of our works? When he'll look upon it and he'll know not only all that you've done, but watch this, he'll know why you did it. See, it's where our lives are evaluated for all that we've done and we'll have it appraised, but he'll actually now decide and deems it whether it's acceptable or it's not, whether it burns up or if it's to be rewarded. And it isn't just the heap of work, it's the why you did what you did. It's not just the hours and hours you put in down at the church or the money that you put in over all these years or whatever type of work you want to put there, it's the why you did it. If you did it for this, I'm not preaching against applauding, but if that's why you did it, if that's what drove you to do it, when the church people, you just got your reward. If you did it so that whatever it is, the service, if you did it so that he'd say your name from the pulpit, if that's why you did it, the moment he said your name from the pulpit, you just got your reward. I'm not saying don't do it, but don't do it for him. Do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your judge. He's the one that can see your heart on why you're doing it. You might even have the Lord look back and he might even see this time and you go back over all of your life and maybe when you first got saved and you might even have a story like I think of myself when I first got saved, I tried to memorize some scripture verses related to salvation and I can remember giving someone a track and I thought, no one's around, it's just me and this person. I'll go ahead and give these verses a try. And I started spitting out these verses and I messed it up royally. I mean, I misquoted verses. I stumbled over all of it. And I thought, oh, this has been a joke. Gave the guy a track. Yep. But all that I wanted to do back then was just to bring glory to God. And God will look upon that scene. And you probably have one similar to that. One that you thought you blew it. Maybe you sang a song and you blew it. Maybe you talked to somebody about something related to the Lord and you blew it, but your heart was pure. God will look over all that and he'll say, wow, look it. You thought you failed, but I know your heart was pure and I want to give you reward for all of that. What a thought. See, this morning you have a time where you can look at that great day in the future and you can now take time right now to focus. Focus in like a laser focus on the why you're doing it. I would imagine in this church's life and in your seems to be your testimony for the Lord, you all do a lot of work for God. Keep on doing it. This isn't a correcting message, but it is somewhat of a maintenance message. I'm 62 years old, and when I was 40, I had to face this truth. I was 4 years at the Bible college being the executive vice president, and in 4 years, I was convicted. I was doing a bunch of stuff. Running a Bible college is busy. And I realized this on my fourth year of doing it. I was doing it just for my boss. I should do things my boss wants me to do. Amen? But internally, I was doing it for him. I was convicted. And since I was convicted on that, I wake up every day. I don't do less. My boss, hopefully, is still happy. I'm still employed there. But I'm laser focused on this. Am I doing it for him or am I a man pleaser? Don't just do it because your preacher wants you to. He wants you to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you and I cannot be glorified. You and I cannot be rewarded for something that doesn't glorify God. Our lifestyle or the way we live must match our beliefs. I'll be very quickly. Let me just ask you this question. How many of you really believe deep down inside that Jesus could come back any day now? Okay, this is a Baptist church. You're supposed to shout amen, okay? This is a Baptist preacher's button, all right? And I like to press it. How many of you really believe? And I'm asking you, just shout out amen in a moment and just lift up your right hand. Just do this. Amen, all right? How many of you believe that Jesus Christ can come back any day now?
Amen.
Raise your right hand. You said amen. You all said, and I know I'm not trying to work anything up here, but follow me. You all said that you think that he can come back any day now, and you just shouted amen and lifted your hand up. That's what you think. That's your theology on the doctrine of the return of Jesus Christ. In the Bible college terms, that's your theology. That's what you said you think about this doctrine. And you all shouted amen. Did you mean it? You think he can come back any day now? All right, so now say this. So, and figuratively, I'm not going to ask you to go through this exercise, but just to be repetitive on purpose, I just asked you, how many of you believe that Jesus can come back any day now? Amen. Amen. You all still want to do good. And if I said, now keep on holding your hand up there. And then if I said, now those of you that have your right hand up saying you think this, that's your theology. How many of you would say that your lifestyle matches your thinking on the return of Jesus Christ? Raise your left hand. Well, here in church, that's pretty easy. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Here on Sunday morning, man, you just honored your pastor, had good singing, everything, good happy crowd, crazy preacher in from Oklahoma, but still, it's been a good day. So you just shout, amen, preacher. He can come back any day now. Any day, any moment. And then does your lifestyle, the way you're living, match your theology? Well, here today, it's pretty easy to do this. But tomorrow's Monday. Look at this. When I raise my right hand and I just do this, do you know what I think of? A politician. I hope we don't have any politicians here in the house, do we? Okay, good. But when I do this around the world, this is known as what? Surrender. Yep. If you want to really get ready for that day, you got to be like this. You got to be surrendered. If you believe that he can really come back any day now, then you got to make sure you're living like that.
Because the day that you just read is on your calendar. And He's going to reward us. But before He rewards us, you know what He does? He reconciles with us. Like reconciling your bank account. He reconciles. And He's going to reconcile all the heap of the work that you did. Thank you for doing all the work you've done. But He's going to look and examine in a discerning way as to why you did it. Well, Brother Copes, I've been in this for so long, and I got to admit, I've been doing some of it for the wrong reason. Didn't you hear me admit to that myself? But what did I do? I changed. I got out that old laser focus, and I'm focused on that day. Everything I do, I find myself thinking of that day. You're going to go to work, and then you're going to retire. And then you're going to travel and have grandkids. And then you're going to die. And if you're a born-again believer, you get to see your Savior. And He's going to look back, and hopefully He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And this is a day that is on your calendar. And it'd be a shame if you weren't prepared for it. I'm here as nice as I can be. I don't want to get anybody mad at me, but hey, I'm leaving tomorrow. I just want to help you get prepared for that day. You even get an opportunity during this invitation, this altar call. Good time to get prepared. I'll do it later. I'll do it some other time. I bet you won't. I'll bet you forget. I bet you get busy. I bet you put it to the wayside. Because once we leave these church walls, it's almost so distracting. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what a great day to get saved. Man, I can remember the third Sunday of February, 1983, at 1809 Queen Street in Titusville, Florida, at 11:28 p.m. I was all by myself, laying out on my parents' couch. I just got back from the Daytona 500, watching the 500 live in person. Came back watching a movie, and like the television just went silent. You know, this is 1983. We didn't have remotes back then, but the TV went silent. And I can remember God saying to me, "This is your last chance, Jeff." You see, I was a drug baby. The day I was born, my parents drugged me to church. The day I was born, I went to church all my life, folks. All of my life, every day of my life. And you know what I learned in those 20 years of going to church lost? Do you know what I learned? I learned how to do church. I learned how to put on the garb. Everybody thought I was all set. I was living a whole nother life. I lived in Titusville, Florida. 20 minutes to the north of me was Daytona Beach. 20 minutes to the south of me was Cocoa Beach. Young, single, 20-year-old male. I didn't have to drive too far to find trouble and find sin. But God said to me, "This is your last chance, buddy." I was scared. And I was really scared that God would start to talk to me like that. What'd you do? I just got off the couch, got on my knees, and I just started crying out to God, "God, please save me. God, I don't know much of what I've heard all these years, but God, I know I've been rejecting you. God, I've tried to clean up. I can remember trying to quit smoking. To get right with God. I can remember trying to quit cocaine, trying to get right with God, trying to quit drinking. I couldn't quit any of that stuff. You know what's amazing is I thought God wanted me to quit all that and then be accepted by Him. I didn't have to quit any of that to be accepted by Him. I just had to come and ask Him for forgiveness. Wash me." And you know what happened when I just simply had faith in what He did on the cross could be applied to my account and that He was my substitute, then by trusting in that, I became a Christian, and the dwelling of the Holy Spirit was inside of me. And I have to be honest with you,
every desire for all of those things I just listed and more that I won't list changed. Changed. My heart's desires changed. I wanted to be in church. And I got saved and I just thought, well, this will be really easy. No one's around me right now. I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I'll just go ahead and start to assimilate myself into church. I'll start to go to church a little bit more. I won't even have to go forward, do an altar call, and announce my salvation because everybody pretty much just guessed I might have been saved because I looked the part and I was a fun young single man and all that. I won't have to come forward. I won't even have to get baptized because they probably think I'm baptized already. Yeah. 2 weeks later, someone lights our church afire. Somebody broke in. He had a mental illness. Broke in, took 10 offering plates and spread it throughout the auditorium and had a cocktail bomb for each one of them. Burnt the church down to the ground. Man, God got my attention. That happened on a Wednesday morning. By Saturday afternoon, we had a circus tent set up in the parking lot. That Sunday morning in that tent, we had church. Yeah. And a man named Ralph Heron, who was the young adult Sunday school teacher, who came to see me every week for 11 months. Didn't come to see me 11 weeks, didn't see me 11 times. Saw me every week for church visitation, 11 months straight every week just to get me to go to Sunday school class. He comes forward. He comes to catch me in the back seat of the tent that first Sunday. I'm saved. Nobody knows I'm saved. He comes up to me and says, Jeff, if you ever want to get saved and you want me to walk the aisle with you, I'll do it. But then he said this, but this is the last time I'll ever come and ask you. Man, my heart just stopped. He just turned, started walking away from me. You know what I did? Got out of my chair, caught up to him. I said, I need to tell you something. I just got saved a couple weeks ago. Would you help me go forward and to pray? Present myself for baptism. Folks, I stand here before you today, not only just alive, but a changed man. Because God changed me. Jesus did. The dwelling of that. If you're here this morning, I don't care how long you've been a member of this church or how many churches you've been a member of. I don't care who you're related to and who you're not related to. That matters nothing to God. It's just whether you're a believer or not, whether you've rejected the Son of God or not. And if you've rejected the Son of God, then one day God will reject you. And if you're holding out until that day comes and you'll say, well, when that day comes when I'm at the great white throne, I'll get saved then. There's no indication in Scripture that there's an opportunity to be saved then at all. It's done. It's over. But if you're have breath right now, and if you've rejected the Son of God, I would really encourage you during this invitation time to come down the front and just see the preacher and say, preacher, I just need to be saved. Well, I'm already a church member here. Hey, if anybody that's a church member of this church walks the aisle to get saved today, will the church members of this church be happy or sad? Well, there you go. You're going to be mad at the person? No. Visitors. Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, can a visitor get saved at a Baptist church? Church, can they? There you go. Yep. Maybe some of you, and I hope you do. I hope there's many that will come and say, I'm going to laser focus in now. You know why? Because your children are watching you. For God, but let's be real. There's children in here, and they're watching you. They're watching you, and they're smart enough to know this. They know why you do it. Yeah. You like the way this church has its services in the morning time, Sunday services? Well, if you want it to be real, then pass it on. Pass it on. You are a living example of what it's like to have a walk with God. The children of this church are watching each adult in this church. Would you stand with your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Please don't delay. Those that are helping us with the invitation, if you come quickly, I would ask you that if the Spirit of God is leading you, please don't wait for there to be movement. Don't wait for the person beside you. Respond to the Spirit of God as He leads you right now. Heavenly Father,